could have never made it without the prayers. I know y'all been praying for us, and we appreciate that. Appreciate the offerings and stuff. You'll never know how much we appreciate it. Appreciate Brother Brian. Like Rhonda said, he's been there every day that she was in the hospital, been over to the house checking on her. He's got things going on the house over there. I mean, just like I say, Brian will always be my family. He always will be. And before I start singing, I'd like to say something else, too, one thing. You know, me and Rhonda, we left here, and we started going to Thanks to Calvary. And a lot of people's been asking, you know, did somebody do something to you down there? Was somebody mean to you or mad or what have you? No. Nobody was mean to us. Everybody's good to us. I mean, but sometimes you just got to do what the Lord leads you to do. And us leaving didn't happen overnight. We prayed and prayed about it. And there were some things in our situations in our life then that we felt that would be the best route for us to go, and we prayed about it. But I want to let you all know that me and Rhonda still loves each and every one of y'all. Amen. I mean, through this, God has showed me a lot of things. I mean, he's been so good to us. Amen. He's good to all of us if we just recognize it. I mean, on the worst day, I mean, through all of us, just like Brother said a while ago, you know, even through the valleys, he's still good. Yeah. Even in times like she faced, he's good. He's never failed us, and he won't. I just want to lift his name tonight and praise his precious name. And again, thank every one of you for everything that y'all have done. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, its emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Rugged cross, I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me away, home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. I will cling till my trophies at last I'll lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. Beautiful is the springtime when flowers bloom, when the cold, cold winds have blown away. Oh, and beautiful are the trees that grows on yonder hill. Beautiful is the land where I am going. It's a land where tears of sorrow will never flow. It's a land where the body never grows old. Oh, and beautiful is the land where I am going. Beautiful is a river that's flowing through that land, and it never, never will run dry. Oh, and beautiful are the people that's living in that land, a land where it never will come nigh. It's a land where tears of sorrow will never flow. It's a land where the body never grows old. Oh, and beautiful is the land where I am going. There'll be no coffins made in that city. There'll be no death in that land, for it is the promise of the Father. If we'll just hold to Jesus' hand, it's a land where tears sorrow will never flow. It's a land where the body never grows old. Oh, and beautiful is the land where I am going. Oh, and beautiful is the land where I am going.
A few minutes with me to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter 2. I want to give you a little bit of a thought right here from the Word of God. I hope it'll be a help, encouragement to you. I can sort of sense one of those moments of like a series of messages on this particular thought that I'm getting ready to lay out to you. And I think it'll be a help and encouragement to us if we'll sink in. dealing with the subject of friendship. Boy, I'm thankful for friends. How about you? Where would you be without friends, and where would you be without friendship? We'd be in a world of hurt, honestly. And I want to look at this. You know, one of man's greatest needs. Now, y'all stay with me tonight now. Brother Dobie, one of man's greatest needs. We say, well, hey, a man needs to be saved. That's exactly right. That's, I believe, the greatest need is for an individual to be saved, to be born again, to know Christ as Savior. But I think one of the other greatest needs, probably outside of that, is the need of mankind to have friendship. You ever thought about that? I tell you, God got to thinking about it one day, and he seen man was alone. God said, that ain't good. So he gave us certainly a helpmate, and that's pertaining to the husband-wife relationship. But boy, thank God for friends and friendship. I want you to notice here in Genesis chapter number 2, and I want to begin reading in verse number 15. I'd say this before I even read this. Everybody stay with me now. I've been in a lot of situations through ministry, and I ain't seen it all. Sister Mary, I ain't even seen a drop in the bucket to what a lot of folks have seen. But I've seen situations in ministry and pastoring, and I've seen folks get hurt. I've seen folks get aggravate. I've seen accidents. I've seen tragedy. I've seen death. You name it, pretty much we've seen it. And the one stability through it all seems like it, we know is the Lord. The Lord is there. But it seems like there's always a remnant of people somewhere that's going to be there to help you along life's way. We make this statement, how does a person make it without the Lord in this thing called life? I don't see how folks make it. But it sure is good for somebody to have somebody tangible, Brother Dobie, that you can get a hold of. Just like you laying down over that foot all tore up, down over that lawnmower. It's good to have friends. And thank God for that. Notice here in Genesis chapter number 2, look with me in verse number 15. Of course, we notice this account. I think last week I was in chapter number 3 reading some text. But notice here in Genesis 2, verse number 15, the Bible said, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now somebody says, well man, if God really loved man, he wouldn't have put a restriction on them. No, that was God proving that he did love man, because he did put a restriction on them to stay away from that one tree. He laid out that limitation unto them in restriction. Then the Bible said in verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Now, I don't know if any of the wives would say amen right there, but you fellas ought to say amen right there. That God give us, well, about two of you did. Thank God for the helpmate that God gives to mankind. He looked and he saw man, Adam was there, and he was alone. God said he needs a helpmate. Well, notice verse number 19. "Now the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Now, boy, Adam, he was not an ignorant man. He's an intellectual fellow. He got his wisdom from God. But as those animals came across, he put a name to it. I wonder what he thought, T.R., when the hippopotamus came by. Where did that come from? Come from Adam. What about the elephante? We call it the elephant. Amen. The flamingo. The duck that flew by. Well, that looks like a duck. We're going to name it. There's a goose. There's a dove. There's a buzzard. You could go on and on and on. He's seen these critters and these animals, and he put a name to all of them. He had a big vocabulary, Brother Harold, when he named all those animals. But here's the thing. He looked around out of all those animals. God had formed every beast of the ground and the fowls, the Bible said. In verse number 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him." So all those animals that were created, Brother Dobie, God said, you know, it's not good that man should be alone. So he created all these animals and the fowls of the air, and still looked at Adam and said, you know, it's still not good. He still needs an helpmeet. So verse number 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." I heard the story years ago about the Sunday school class, about 4 and 5 year old, had this, and the teacher, the lady was teaching on this particular fact about God taking the rib out of man and the woman was made. And maybe the next Sunday or something, the little kid had some stomach issues, and he got down on the floor and said, Oh, teacher." And teacher, "What's going on?" He said, "I think I'm having a woman," because his old rib was hurting him. But you know, God took a rib out of the man and he made a woman. Why did he do that? Because man was alone. He knew that there's a fundamental need that man had, and the need for friendship. And of course, we go on and we read that in verse 24. This context is in the relationship between one man and one woman. Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So we see here that God looked over there in about verse number 18, I believe it was again. I'll read it one more time. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. As we look at this thing, we consider the subject of friendship. I understand the context of Genesis 2. It's talking about that marriage relationship. And listen, a marriage shouldn't be it shouldn't be World War II, Brother Dobie, Brother. It shouldn't be like that. God didn't institute that thing to be like that. It's supposed to be a loving environment. Of course, Ephesians 5, you could go to multiple texts where it talks about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And of course, it talks about the wives being submissive unto the husband in Ephesians 5. But it also talks about being submissive one to another. Marriage is a team effort. But understand, friend, a marriage is not where two enemies come together. It's where that friendship lies. God knew there was a basic man, that man didn't need to be alone, so God made a woman. And there's friendship to be there. But even outside of that, you know, God has given us friendship relationships. And thank God for friends. Again, one of man's most basic needs, and gonna be real elementary tonight, but some of us probably need this. Did you know a friend is someone who knows everything about you and still loves you the way you are? Let that sink in a little bit. A true friend. Now, we ain't talking about one of these fair weather friends, but a real true friend, Brother T.R., they know things about you that nobody else does. And at the end of the day, they make a conscious decision. You know what? I love them anyways. That's a true friend. Because how many of us know there ain't one of us in here that's perfect? Yeah, man, we all made out of the same stuff. I can see this is going well tonight. But a friend is someone who knows everything about you and loves you just the same. Think about this. A friend goes on liking you regardless of how successful you become or how unsuccessful you become. Now, we're talking about a true friend now. We ain't talking about one of these, well, you know, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That ain't much of a friendship at all. That's a conditional deal. That's the world's deal. That's the devil's deal. But I'm glad when it comes to that unconditional love, man, in spite of my faults, in spite of my sin, in spite of my failures, God still loves me and chooses to be my friend. Think about Abraham. He was called a friend of God. No greater statement that we could have than to be a friend with the Lord. We think about this subject of friendship. Friend is someone who knows everything about you and loves you just the same. Friend goes on liking you regardless of how successful or unsuccessful you may be. A friend is someone who believes in you when you cease to believe in yourself. And we're talking about a friend now. Could be a marriage relationship, could be a friend, could be a co-worker, could be a co-member of the church somewhere, could be somebody that's not even associated with the church, but a true friend, somebody that believes in you when you fail to believe in yourself, there to pick you. I say thank God for friends. Amen. Do you know a friend is a source of celebration when you have come to realize there's nothing to celebrate? You ever look around and you see maybe the world's crumbling in and all the problems arise on this side and this side, but yet you can look around and you say, you know what, at the end of the day, I really ain't got nothing to celebrate, but, you know, I got a true friend over here that's been there through with me thick and thin. Amen. There's friends like that. Man, I got friends all over the world, seem like, and I don't deserve it. But I've got folks that stick with you through thick and thin, whether you're successful, whether you're unsuccessful. Man, whether you're good to them or not, they still your friend. And listen, when there'll come a time, see, a lot of folks say, well, bless God, I don't need any friends. There'll come a time you'll need some friends. You better make sure you're friendly. We'll get on that in a few minutes. A lot of folks say, I ain't got no friends. And most of that's the individual's fault. For the Bible said in Proverbs 18:24, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. A lot of folks ain't got no friends because they're not friendly themselves, and that's the Bible. But notice this. A friend is someone that comes to your side when you call, regardless of the hour. Sometimes they'll come when you don't call. I've got a lot of friends like that. that'll be there in our darkest hour. I could go back, and Christian and I could tell you stories, and certainly when Gracie was born here with faith, and a lot of you have came on since that day and since that hour, but there's a lot of folks that pulled around us and surrounded around us because you were friends. We've seen folks that have had cancer. We've seen tragedy. We've seen death. We've seen all kinds of things, and there's one thing. Listen, you may not like Faith. You may not like Brian, but I'm going to tell you this. You cannot go away from here and say, well, the church don't love you. The church won't reach out and try their best to help you along the way. Somebody said one time, Sister Janet, well, there's a bunch of cliques down there at Faith. Well, I tell you what, thank God for them cliques that feed them little youngins right over here on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, for those folks that are in the back that are loving on them, for our van drivers that had to make two trips to go pick up some kids. Thank God for, if that's the clique group, thank God for it. Amen. That'll be there when you need something. Here we got folks that are sick and ladies the last couple weeks, and I mean, it's been put into practice here. Folks have taken meals and taken time out of their schedule and taken their resource to folks. Why do they do that? Because they're a friend. And that's what God desires of us. That's why an individual needs a church family. That's why it's so important. Now, all these traits we could say about the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Proverbs 18:20-24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about Him, well, when we think about Christ, He knows everything about us, and He loves us anyway. He goes on liking and loving us regardless of how successful or unsuccessful, or even the decisions I make. Did you know there's nothing that I can do, Brother Harold, to make God love me more? There's nothing that I can do to make God love me any less than He already does, because it's an unending love. We think about a friend as source of celebration. He comes to your side when you call. Boy, thank God for the Lord Jesus. The Scripture said in Luke 7, verse 34, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. I say, thank God Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where would we be, Brother T.R., without Jesus Christ being our friend? I tell you where we'd be. We'd be still be in our sin. We'd still be in our transgression. Hell would be our home. But thank God somebody loved us enough, and His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you three things, just real quickly, and I would consider this an introductory message, because there's more going to be following this, I do feel like. But did you know a true friend will be unchanging? Stay with me now. Just three things. They all start with you. A true friend is going to be unchanging. Now, in our world, and this is how God's, and sad to say, there's a lot of God's people like this, T.R. Again, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But if you quit scratching my back, forget me being your friend. Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm saved by the grace of God. Brother T.R., you're saved by the grace of God. If you quit scratching my back and I say, well, I ain't going to be your friend anymore, I tell on myself. I tell my spiritual maturity that I'm still a little babe in Christ. You see, a true friend, this is not real deep, but this is where we live. A true friend will be unchanging. How we know? Proverbs 17 and verse number 17, the Bible said, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, a lot of folks have got this mentality. Well, if somebody don't do like I want them to do, then I hope they suffer. I hope they suffer. If they don't do what I want them to do, if they don't do what I think that they should be doing, man, I hope they suffer. Well, I'll tell you right now, you ain't much of a friend if you got that attitude. Because a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There are something that is called fair weather friends. We think about the prodigal son. Luke 15, he had plenty of friends, Sister Janet, while he had money. But then when he wasted his substance with the riotous living, guess what? The friends faded. A lot of folks say, well, you can't buy friends. I disagree with that. You can buy friends as long as you got money. But when that money runs out, you ain't going to have no friends. But they ain't much of friends anyway, if that's the case. Proverbs 19 and verse number 6 said, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Did you get that? There's a thought. Yeah, a lot of folks, oh, you can't buy friends. I disagree that you can buy friends. The prodigal son had friends as long as he had money, but the money ran out. But if our friends is based on our economic standing and the gifts that we give them, then, man, they ain't going to be much friends, Brother Dobie, on that day of adversity. And it's not a matter of if adversity comes our way. It's a matter of when. How you know? How can you be so sure? Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. You might be selling the wrong right now, and this message may just be for me, but it might be for somebody else. You might be selling along pretty good. You say, well, I ain't got no problems. I don't need, bless God, I don't need nobody. Honey, there'll come a day when God will put you down in a situation where you're going to have to lean on something, and thank God for those friends that are unchanged. We ought to be one of those friends that are unchanging. Not only unchanging, but unrestrained. A true friend. Now, we're talking about a true friend. Somebody that's unchanging. Somebody that's unrestrained. What do you mean unrestrained from what? Well, listen to what the Bible said. Proverbs 27, verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What's that mean, preacher? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, a true friend's going to tell you the truth. They're not going to pat you on the back and tell you to continue on in sin, just go on and live it up. No, a true friend will tell you, no, this is wrong. I love you, and I want you to know that I love you, but you're heading down the wrong road. And there's a true friend will be unrestrained. They're not going to hold back from telling somebody the truth because they love that friend enough. Amen. Truth may hurt at the present, but in the end, it'll keep some folks from making mistakes, keep some folks out of hell. Sure will. What Jude say? There's only one chapter in Jude, verse number 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference in others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Well, you're not going to pull anybody out of the fire if you don't have a love for people. If you don't have that friend, well, preacher, I just don't agree with him or whatever. Well, listen, folks, we're in this thing together. God looked down. Man's basic need is to have some friends in this world. God wants me to be a friend. He wants you to be a friend. There'll come a time when we're going to need some friends in this thing called life. And thank God for that crowd that's unchanging and unrestrained. They'll tell you the truth of what God says. You know, think about this, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron. Boy, that's a real simple principle. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, here's a good question. Now, we all got to answer this, Brother Dobie. The Bible said there that iron sharpeneth iron. And we're to sharpen the countenance of a friend. Now, the question would be this, am I a sharpener or am I a duller? I promise you we're one of the two. Do we sharpen people or do we dull people? That's good, ain't it, Brother Randy? That's about right, ain't it? We're going to do one of two things. You're either going to dull people or you're going to sharpen people. In other words, you're either going to be the betterment for somebody or you're going to be the worst for somebody. And a lot of it has to do with our attitude. Amen. And our friendliness unto folks. So we see what's a true friend. One that's unchanging, one that's unrestrained, but one that is unmindful. And boy, this is the hard part. This is where we struggle right here, Harold. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where grudges come from. This is where issues come from. This is where folks said, well, I can't be your friend. You know why it is? Because they're not unmindful. They're mindful of themselves. But a true friend's going to be unmindful. Unmindful of what, preacher? Unmindful of themselves. The greatest picture is found of the Lord Jesus. John 15, verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see that? Jesus was unmindful of his flesh. He was willing to not pay part of the price, but to pay all the price. He was willing to pay that ultimate sacrifice so I could be in heaven one day, so you could be in heaven one day. He was unmindful of himself. He became obedient unto death. And boy, that's hard to do because we live in this old wicked, corrupt thing called flesh. It's hard to lay it down. That's why Jesus said you got to die daily. Take up that cross, not monthly, not yearly, but he said take up your cross daily. We have to die of this old thing called self. Seems like we've been talking about this here recently, but you remember J-O-Y? You know why people are not joyful? You know why people are not exuberant in the things of God? Because they got it backwards. Most time it's about themselves. It's about me, myself, and I. Remember the servant? John 3 and verse number 30. John the Baptist said, he, the Lord Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. If we want to be successful, if we want to make it in this thing called life, if we want to be somebody that somebody can depend upon, we got to realize that we are servants. He must increase, I must decrease. We got to be unmindful of myself, and we got to be mindful of others. The true picture of joy is putting Jesus first, others second, and yourselves last. But we got it all mixed up, Brother T.R. We got it all mixed up. When it comes to friends, that being unmindful, going the extra mile, giving of yourself for the sake of others, is called sacrificing and investing. A lot of folks say, well, you know, if I know I can get this out of the situation, then I'll invest my time and my friendship. God didn't ask you to do that. Don't put conditions on that. If you want to be a true friend, be a true friend. If you want to be a duller, continue being a duller. But there'll come a time when you're going to wish to God you'd have been a little more friendlier than you have been. Somebody might say, well, man, I ain't got no friends at all. Again, that's you're telling on yourself. Again, Proverbs 18:24 said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And then it goes on to talk about the greatest friend there ever was. And there's a friend which sticketh closer than a brother, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? God's called me to be a friend. What about that crowd that don't love me? I'm still supposed to be their friend. What about that crowd that despises me? Jesus said, pray for them. Amen. Look it up. Sermon on the Mount. We're to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. Boy, that ain't shouting ground, is it? That's what Jesus said to do. And we're to be friends unto people. And I can tell you this, you better mark her down, Genesis, and there's the law of sowing and reaping that you cannot get away from. And it's Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Preacher, why should I be a friend to somebody? Because they're going to come a time when you're going to need a friend to lean upon. Well, I'm doing, I'm tough, I'm strong. Well, there's still going to come a day when you're going to need somebody to lean on. Amen. And a true friend is somebody that's unchanging. Somebody that's unrestrained. It ain't just going to pat you on the back if they see you doing something wrong. They're going to tell you in a loving way. And they're going to know at the end. And you do remember that principle is so true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. If you do that, hey, listen, we got to be unrestrained, but we got to be unmindful. It shouldn't be about us. It ought to be about others and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we want joy in our life. We got to put Jesus first, others second, yourselves last. You know, tonight I think about this, and I was thinking about that need. Let me read those three again because I ain't going to be able to remember that right now. If I can find it, I may not even, if I put it in the wrong place, I'll never find it. Here we are. Think about these as I close tonight. We're standing all over the house. One of man's most basic needs is friendship. Now, a friend is someone who knows everything about you and me and loves us still. Are we that kind of friend? Now, I'm asking you individually. Are we that kind of friend that knows everything about you and still loves you just the same? Think about this, a friend goes on liking you regardless of how successful or unsuccessful you may become. Have you put restrictions on that to your friendship? Are you someone who believes in you when you cease to believe in yourself? Are you a source of celebration when you have come to realize there's nothing to celebrate? Are you somebody that someone else could depend on morning, noon, or night? Man, I want to be a friend like that. I want you to be a friend like that. Because there'll come a day if we live long enough, if we live long enough, Brother Harold, there'll come an hour where we're going to need to lean on somebody. So you better remember, again, Galatians 6:7, a man's going to reap what he sows. Let's pray tonight. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to share your word tonight. Now, God, I've done my very best to empty myself of the hour, Lord, of the message of this that you placed upon our heart about friendship. God, I sure do look and I see where friendship is a basic necessity of mankind. God, would you help me to be the friend, God, that you called me to be? Pray that we'd all do that. And, Lord, whether folks scratch us on the back or not, help us not just to be fair weather friends that just jump on board when the sun's shining, but God, help us, Lord, to stay in spite of the storm and the circumstances, the problems. Help us to be somebody that folks could lean upon. Help us to make a difference for the cause of Christ that we talked about Sunday. God, would you move during this time? We'll be careful, Lord, to give you thanks and praise for all you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31.
He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.